Hey everybody, Shane here. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
This is Joe Bozzelli, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 75. Today that we're recording this, is our 1 year anniversary of the first episode. So if you haven't listened to any of these, go back, check out episode one where me and Chris were hanging out in his basement and where this all started. So coming up this weekend, Sunday the 7th, I'll be having a acoustic brunch, 1 year anniversary party over at Steve's Hot Dogs in Tower Grove. A bunch of our friends from the show over the last year, Court Lenzelli, Dimmerway Trent, Zach Michael, Steve Ewing duo with DJ Stan the Man. And Skyburnt White and Connor Lau. So, yeah, come hang out with us. Eat a hot dog. The Steve's got some of the best dogs in town. And they're all fully loaded mac and cheese and bacon and barbecue sauce and all sorts of good stuff. So with all that out of the way, my guest today is Joe Bozzelli.
You got it, man.
So, a.k.a. The Biz.
The Biz. Yeah. That's my alter ego.
Yeah.
But hello, world, and thank you very much for coming over to do this. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited, man. This is I've been checking out some of your stuff, and then we had our mutual friend Cordy, and
I don't know if I want to call him that. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I smoke?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes me feel more comfortable.
Yeah. But yeah, he mentioned your name and how you guys used to jam and back in the day, and
oh yeah. And I know he mentioned that we played in some battles. What he didn't mention was we only played in one battle that we didn't win, which was out of state in Milwaukee. But all the other ones around here we played and we won.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, we used to have a great time back in the day rocking out.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's all right. Mm. Yeah. Now, I'm super excited to see him at that Keister brunch. I haven't seen him play out live in a while, besides the... We had him on the show a couple weeks ago and had a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's just very naturally talented.
Yeah, yeah, he's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So you got a big show coming up here soon, June 20th, over at the Numeli Festival.
Yep, it's not quite like it's not really a big huge deal, but I'm making it out to be a really really
exciting,
big deal. And I was born and raised in Numeli, so I want this to be really really big. I'm gonna have people like taking pictures and video and things. Might even do a little documentary on the Numeli Festival. So,
yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of friends from. I'm born and raised in Winsfield myself, so I, I hung out with a lot of people from Numeli, and there's a lot of people who get excited every year for the festival because it's basically like a family reunion
it's
of sorts.
Very informal class or family reunion. Yeah, where everybody drinks and it's chicken gizzards.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And actually, I wrote a song about Numeli just to play at the festival.
Yeah.
And just recently on Reverb Nation, it got over 500 views, which is more than the population of Numeli.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the first, I guess, introduction to you was I saw you share that song and then I checked it out and I was really impressed, man. I really like that kind of. For me, it's like, especially because I know Numeli, that I can relate, and it's very, very fun in that sense that I can relate to everything you're talking about. It also kind of, I just like that kind of small town songs, you know.
And it's all accurate. I didn't have to make anything up.
But it kind of reminds, like I was telling my buddy about it, and like how, what's that, George Thorogood's got the Back to Wentzville.
Oh, yeah.
And I always just, one, it's by Wentzville, but it's also, I love the line because he says, cruising Highway Z in my Coupe de Ville, and it's like, I live right on Highway Z, so like it's especially cool for me to relate to that. So
absolutely, and that's kind of what I was going for. I went down to Nashville and met with a professional songwriter, so I've been trying to actually learn how to structure a song and how they're supposed to be for the radio, and eventually hopefully write for those kinds of artists. So this is my, I have to make 90 bad songs, he said. So this is one of 90.
All right.
And I got more to come.
You want to play that one?
Yeah, I'd love to. Hopefully some people hear this will be able to sing along at the festival. That's my goal. And also at the festival, Joe Griffey's going to be backing me up with lead guitar.
Okay.
And he's really, really makes it sound even much better. But
nice.
This is what it sounds like with just me. I love my town. It's too good to be true. And everyone knows everyone, 'cause we all went to Daniel Boone. I love my town. It's where I tried to grow up. And right there at the four-way is where I wrecked my old black truck. True story. So come on, everyone, to a town that's second to none. And see, around here we like to make our own fun. So follow me to New Melly. Cool rednecks and field parties. The little things like picking in the pumpkin patch, where I learned to play ball and throw horseshoes. Made good friends and broke some rules. But I can't think of a better place for me than New Melly. Can't think of a better place for me. An old gravel road down Calloway. When we were young and real dumb, that's all I'm gonna say. And it was okay if you got stuck. There's about eight guys around the fire that love to use their trucks. So come on, everyone. This fair has just begun. We're gonna head to Liz's when it's done. So follow me to New Melly. Cool rednecks and field parties. The little things like picking through the pumpkin patch. Man, I wish they'd bring that back. I played ball through horseshoes. Made good friends and broke some rules. But I can't think of a better place for me than New Melly. I can't think of a better place for me than New Melly.
Yeah, man.
Something like that.
Yeah. Thanks. Sounded great.
You don't have to applaud, but it makes me feel good myself.
Yeah, that was killer, man.
Thanks. My heart's racing.
Oh, yeah.
I must be nervous or something.
Yeah, well, you know, this is, you're making it the big times here with this
podcast.
Yeah, moving on up.
It's a real thing.
So is that available? You said it was on the Reverb Nation.
It's on Reverb Nation, but by the 20th, by the festival, it's going to be on iTunes.
Okay, great. Yeah.
And I'm actually going to do it where it's like a 50-50 thing. I started kind of talking to this charity or non-for-profit called Play It Forward.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Samantha? I haven't actually met her yet, but we've talked a few times. I'm going to start working with them because I think it's a great cause.
Sure.
Getting instruments to kids that don't have them or can't get them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do like a 50-50 thing, I think.
I think, I think it's funny you said 50 because she was episode 50 of our show. And she's been on here and she's become a friend. And she also same thing. I partnered up with her for the acoustic brunch Sunday.
Nice.
So I turned Steve's hot dogs into a donation site for the day. So anybody,
oh, that's great.
Anybody that wants to bring an instrument, I'm hoping somebody does. And
or but, even monetary donations.
Yeah, sure.
I heard they accept.
Oh yeah, yeah. Anything's good. But yeah, the whole you know, idea behind the obviously money helps, but the whole bringing instruments to kids in need. They might not otherwise be able to get them, you know. So
right.
She's told us some really sad stories on the show too. That it was you know, they really kind of tugged on the heartstrings. So
yeah.
He'll have to go back and check that one out with Samantha.
I will do that. Cool.
But yeah, no, that's great, man. That you're gonna do that though. That's look forward to helping out then.
Cool, definitely. Yeah. And like I was saying, Joe Griffey will be there at the festival to, mm-hmm. to help me with the leads, and he's going to play some of his music too. He's also in a band called Mojo Williams Band. Wanted to give them a little plug,
yeah.
So just check them out. And then hopefully Cordy will be there, and then Denver Wade will be there too.
Oh, great!
So
yeah, those are nice, my buddies.
Solid little lineup
yeah.
there.
Wade was one of our. I call him Wade. I think.
Yeah, I don't know what to call him. I've asked him. He's like, whatever.
Yeah,
sure. Whatever you want.
I think it messes a lot. Like, I was introduced to him as Wade, so I've always called him Wade. But I think everybody calls him. Some people call him Denver because of his Facebook and things. But, anyway, yeah,
he'll answer to either.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. hey, asshole.
Yeah.
You know? So,
actually, he's a really good dude. I called him one time when I had just started playing music full time and wasn't getting enough or as many gigs as I wanted, and I just didn't think I was doing it right. And I was, you know, kind of, I don't know, and called him, and he just kind of just flipped the whole thing around and made me like realize what I already had and all the places I was already playing at. And yeah, just a good dude in general.
Yeah, we've become real good friends since we met, and he was like episode 5 on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been around since the beginning of this. And
nice.
I kind of said off mic, this is the whole idea behind this show is for me to hang out with my friends and spotlight some people around town that, you know, have some really cool stuff going on. So
I'm sure they all appreciate it very
much.
Yeah,
it's fun, man. It's cool to see that this growing, and you know, that we've already done it a year now and
mm-hmm.
75 episodes.
What made you want to start it? Just like,
So like I said, even before all this, I've always been a big fan of music and it started after high school. It started getting more and more, like, you know, just the addiction was getting stronger.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, and I've started meeting all these people, and I had a bunch of these friends that played, or I also go to a lot of comedy shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a bunch of friends that are local comics and things. And so I started writing for a website, writing music reviews for albums and things.
Nice.
And I just sort of got burned out writing, and mm-hmm. I was like, I'll just start talking. And
there
then
you
I, go. I started really getting into a lot of podcasts.
Shh, Ziggy, quiet. We're working. Hey, come here. Sorry, he saw a dog outside.
Yeah. You know, trying to say hi.
That's all good. The music fever.
Yeah. But I had all these friends, and I wanted to I started really getting into podcasting as a fan, listening to a bunch of my favorite comics, how they a lot of them have them, and
I just listened to Bill Burr's for the first time.
Yeah.
Really good.
Oh yeah. There's a bunch of them I listen to weekly, and it just always sounded like they were having such a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, something like that. I was like, you know, I should, you know, my buddy Chris, he's that we started the show with, he's a big tech guy, he's like, let's start doing this, man. So we started in the basement, and now we're here, and just kind of, you know, it's fun. Just mm-hmm. to be, like I said, hanging out with buddies and talking music and whatever else happens, and
exactly.
and helping promote music. And
I was thinking the name of this being the Rock Paper Podcast. I like these stickers too. Where'd you get these anyway?
Buddy Gus, Gus Page.
I'm gonna have to get his number from you.
Yeah, he hooked me up. My friend Matt Benny from Fivefold made the design the new logo,
mm-hmm.
And then Gus helped me out with getting some new stickers available. So
nice. Once I realized his name was Rock Paper Podcast, I knew I had to play Rocky Bottom Blues, which is another original of mine.
All right.
And it's actually written by me and my buddy Brian Grubbs.
All right.
A long time ago, and just kind of evolved into this. It was about a girl that he knew that was going through some addiction issues, which she actually made it through. And this is kind of, he would try talking to her about it, and she would just say, you know, I know that you feel that way. And so one of the lines in it is, I know you know, but instead you let it swallow you. So that's where that came from.
Okay.
It's called Rocky Bottom Blues. Not much to show. Another story started out, it was oh so slow. I got it, but you can guarantee that there's a twist. Got to be a little more than this. Alone in your dark place, you try to find what you missed. Then you don't leave, so I must insist. You got a one-way ticket to the rock bottom. Rocky, rocky bottom. You give them a little taste, then you know you got them. Well, rock bottom is the rocky bottom blue. Game that you'll always lose. So rock bottom, smoke them if you got them. You should have walked away, but instead you let it swallow you. Instead you let it swallow you. Alone in your dark place, you try to build your case. I know you won't say a damn thing to me when we're face to face. Just know your soul can never be replaced. I don't want to see you hitch a ride down to, cause it's an awful, scary place. That rock bottom, rocky, rocky bottom. You give them a little taste, then you know you got them. Well, the rock bottom is the rocky bottom blues. In the game that you'll always lose. So rock bottom, smoke them if you got them. You walked away, but instead you let it swallow. Instead, you let it swallow you. Not much to show. So sad to see you go. I know, you know. I know, you know. Just keep your head above the water, slow it down, you're slipping farther. I know it must be so hard for you to resist. I know, you know. I know, you know. But instead you let it swallow you. I know, you know. But instead you let it swallow you. I know, you know. But instead you let it swallow you. I know, you know. But instead you let it swallow.
Yeah, man. That was great.
I played that for the professional songwriter in Nashville, and he did not care for it.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently, it's got some structure issues in the country world.
Okay.
But I still kind of like the way it is. So
yeah.
I might rewrite it into a country song one day, but I'm always going to keep that version probably
sure.
too, I think.
I don't know, man. That was one of my biggest things was when I was trying to write reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I would get these albums, and some of them I really like, but not always easy for me to like put into words of why I like it or how I that kind of stuff. I don't really know about.
I call that the wet X factor of the song, like something about it that makes it very good, but you don't really know exactly what it is, but it has it, and that's why it's popular.
Yeah,
or should be popular.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about song structure or.
And
that.
I didn't either, and still really don't know a lot, but I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
But, I mean, I get that there is, but I feel like that's the beauty of art, you know, is that there is, you know, it's kind of more what you feel and things. I feel like now with radio today that things are too structured, you know, there's too much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they definitely are.
There's so much of a format, we've talked about it on the show, but there's that video on YouTube where somebody cut, like, seven hit country songs and they all sound exactly the same. It's just like that should never be
it shouldn't But at the same time, that's what's selling right now.
Yeah, sure.
And I want to try to cash in on that ticket while I still can.
Yeah.
So it's, and that's just where I kind of want to get my foot in the door, start out with country, hopefully, if I can do it, and then see who I meet from there.
Yeah.
Like if I meet a hip-hop producer, I can try to do the Faded in the Biz stuff or whoever, you know, whatever else.
Do you listen to Everlast?
I do, and I've heard kind of sound like him a little bit.
Especially, I have his acoustic album.
Oh, yeah.
And it's incredible, but like... A lot of what you're playing, it has that reminds me a lot of his stuff there. And but yeah, he's got that just that cool voice like that too. But he's kind of one like he obviously did hip hop with House of Pain for years, and then did it, but he kind of moved into even like years ago with What It's Like with kind of more of a sort of a. Country, you know, there's a singer-songwriter aspect of it, you know. And then he's got a song that he played. I saw him play live with the I saw him at Lumiere a while back, and he played some of the stuff acoustic, and he did one called 65 Roses, and it's about his daughter with cystic fibrosis.
Oh, wow.
And I guess that's a lot of kids can't say cystic fibrosis, so they, and when they say it, yeah, so and he told the story behind that and how like he doesn't do like meet and greet stuff, he doesn't, you know, shake hands, he doesn't, you know, he's like, not, and I'm not trying to be you know, an ass about it, he's just like, but if I get sick out here on the road, I can't go home, you know, he's like, I can't go see my kid and stuff.
So he's
and,
a pretty good dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least, you know, that was, it came off very genuine, and it was, you know, I'm hoping that's, I'm sure that's the case. That is just like, you know, it would be easy to say that just to kind of get out of having to do all this, you know.
Exactly.
But, no, it's like, it's really cool to hear, you know, hear the stories like that. Like, and that's one of my favorite things, like this kind of element where we can get some of the stories behind the songs and.
Yep.
And things. So.
And that's one of the things that Mark, the guy down in Nashville, taught me, was you got to start writing about what you know.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to, and I didn't know we were going to do this, but on the ride to his house, I was telling him about the night that my parents first met. And what had happened was my mom was out on a date with another dude, and my dad pulled him over, gave the guy a speeding ticket. So, and I just told him that story, and then when we got to his house and we started writing, that's what we started writing the song about. And came up with one for my parents and played it for my mom on Mother's Day, which she absolutely loved, which I'll probably play at the festival too. But it's called Just Another Stop on 79.
Because
that's where it happened. Lights flash, red and blue, reflecting in that old rear view as her date began to sink into his seat. Cop struts up to the driver's side with a big barrel chest looking 6'5" and demanded a license and registration, no please. And even felt the law was heavy-handed, and at first she couldn't stand him. Well, he sure looked good in his uniform. Well, you never know on these winding roads, just a little speeding ticket will turn into so much more. And after all these years, through the laughter and the tears, the stop on 79 changed their lives. Just another stop on 79. Town, everyone knows everyone around. He'd be the cop, now she's the EMT. And on the scene of every wreck stood the hair up on his neck when she'd hop out and start bossing them boys around. And even though she swore she'd never marry, 'cause the thought of settling down seemed scary, well, I sure am glad she gave my dad a chance. Well, you never know on these winding roads, just a little speeding ticket to turn into so much more. And after all these years, through the laughter and the tears, the stop on 79 changed their lives. Just another stop on 79.
Yeah.
Trying to learn how to paint the picture of, like, you can actually hopefully see them getting pulled over.
Sure.
And see, you know, see how that relationship kind of built up.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm trying to do, work on, anyway.
Yeah. No, I love the way that a song can do that, you know, where the imagery and things in the song where you can, there's one, I have a friend's letter, and they have a song of terrible about. Usually I'm pretty good remembering names, but like sometimes I just put an album on and I'll hit play and I don't always go and remember all the names or you know, but anyway, with their they have a song and it's kind of one. It's about this kind of country, and it when I listen to it, I kind of get taken away to sitting on a front porch drinking lemonade on the swing and like you know
feeling.
That kind of thing. Yeah, so it's just kind of fun to. Where the mind can go, you know, whenever you hear those songs like that and stuff, and you know, like I said, those words come to life.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just kind of naturally gravitated towards like storytelling of songwriting. Just like when I hear a song and I can see what's happening in the song and actually like put myself there.
Sure.
That's what I like the most.
Yeah, there's one of my favorites. I've talked about him several times on the show, but Will Hoag, he's one of my favorite singer-songwriters, and he's down in Nashville. He sold a song to Eli Young for Even If It Breaks Your Heart that went number one.
I think I might have heard of that. Yeah.
So it was a big country hit. But yeah, he's just one of those guys that like he just writes all these great songs, and it's funny because like people will look at him, and he said, you know, he's a great banter on stage too, so
yeah,
like
it helps.
Yeah, and he tells these stories on stage, and he says like, you know, people like he writes songs about like you know cheating and everything else, and people are like, but then he tells stories about his wife and kids, and everybody's like,
yeah.
You really did a story, you know? He's like, you know, not all these songs are true. That's just like, but he's able to put himself in those characters and write these songs.
That was one thing that he taught me down there too, was you don't have to write as yourself. You can write as somebody else.
Sure.
And never let the truth get in the way of writing a good song.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that kind of helped.
Yeah. That's why they say what country is three chords in the truth.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's all you need. Even if the truth is what he's saying it is.
Yeah. What else you got for us?
Well, I got one that I'm working on that no one's actually heard yet except for my roommate when I was working on writing it. It's kind of to deal with an ex from a long time ago and finally just let it go and move on and see that she's happy and, you know, just kind of closure, I guess, in my eyes.
Okay.
But I actually wrote it to her daughter, and I haven't asked her if I can use her name for the title, so it's not titled yet.
Okay.
It's a simple one, but it's pretty good. She crossed my mind again today, and I've tried to bury those thoughts away. But every now and then one comes along, like when I hear her favorite song. We've tried to talk, but there's nothing to say. She graced my mind again today. Little memories that come and go, and all that she taught I needed to know. But how could I have known I was just a kid? Couldn't handle the truth, so I stayed and hid just far enough so it didn't show. Nora, I just wanted you to know. Her only flaw was loving me. And it truly hurt to set her free. But we knew it needed to be done. No one can say we didn't have fun. She was never one for any drama. Nora, you're so lucky she's your mama. Nora, you're so lucky she's your mama. I just naturally fade out songs at the end. I'm not sure why.
No, that was very sweet, man. Kind of like a, almost like a lullaby kind
of. Yeah, play. I never really thought of it that way.
Just the
I might have to put lullaby in the title. Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Thank you. But she's a good, great person and a really good mom too. So
yeah.
I've always wanted to try to write something along the line, something for her, and sure. Finally just realized that it needed to go to the little her, not her.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting approach to it too. You know, just.
I figure anybody can just, you know, write the song about the girl, but I want to do something a little different, so
sure.
I hope she likes it.
Yeah. So that's a podcast exclusive there, huh?
Yep. Yep. No one's ever heard it except for Barker earlier, and he was kind of on the phone, so he only halfway heard it.
Yeah, I liked it, man. That was good.
Thanks. And then another thing I realized was it's a lot easier to take a song that's already written and just change a couple of things. Mm-hmm. And make it your own. But for this instance, I actually called the guy who wrote the song. His name's Hector Anchondo, and I saw them play years ago at the Midwest Music Pit in Wentzville,
right
by the railroad tracks.
Right.
And they just tore it up. And these guys were very, very talented. And they have an old song, a song from like their first album called "And She." And when I heard it, I was like, I could easily turn that into a country riff because it's already a country song because it's already a really good song. Mm. So I texted the guy, got a hold of him, and I was like, hey, you mind if I take a crack at making a country version? He's like, have at it, man. And I said, all right, well, if I decide to do anything with it, I'll send it to you first. Mm. So I've got a really rough recording that I sent him. I haven't heard anything back from him yet, so I hope he didn't hate it. But this is called "And She," and if you want to hear the original version, you can go on YouTube. And it's Anchondo is the name of the band, Anchondo, and the song's called "And She." But this is my country version of it called "Waiting for Someone to Speak."
All right.
She sat alone, waiting by her phone for someone to call her home. So she can just call and talk. She sat alone, so still, so quiet, so patiently, just waiting for someone to call and see if she'd ever like to go out. And she opened up her eyes, and to her surprise, standing right in front of her, just waiting on someone to speak, just waiting on someone to speak. He said hello, been wanting to talk to you for quite some time, but I've just been a little too shy. Didn't even have to. Well, I'm glad you took the time. Honey, I'm glad you took the time. And she opened up her eyes, and then to her surprise, she's standing right in front of her, just waiting on someone to speak. Just waiting on someone to speak.
Babe, just waiting on someone.
Waiting on someone to speak.
Yeah,
I wanted to naturally fade that out, but but I didn't on purpose. And actually, the last verse, I think I'm going to have my sister sing on the recorded version, so it's like a girl saying.
Oh, okay.
So I get a female perspective on that part.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that one, it was already done, pretty much, and I just put a little twang to it,
yeah.
And it's basically, it's the same chords, the same melody, it's yeah. just a little twang to it, and you got a whole new song, pretty much.
Sure.
But yeah, props to Anchando. Still a huge fan of Anchando's.
All right. So what kind of, how was that originally? Was it a little...
It's more of a, I don't want to say like poppy punk, but it's like a slow, almost punk. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, you really should check it out. It's, again, Anchando is the name of the band, and the song She is the original version.
Yeah, there was, we've talked about it on the show. Chris used to play, I never played music. Just always been a fan, but I never had any you know, natural draw to pick up a guitar or anything.
Ironic, because you're doing more for local music than a lot of the local musicians.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah,
you're spreading everything out.
Sure,
the way that you're doing.
I don't know. I mean, people, I get a lot that people like think that I want to play, or you know, or I want to be a comedian or something like that because I'm always hanging around.
Right.
But it's like I really have no desire to do that. I enjoy this, you know, being a fan and kind of doing my part with this. Yeah, I feel we all have our purposes and our...
Exactly, and one of the things you taught me down in Nashville was one of the best ways to get ahead is to help somebody else get, you know, quote-unquote famous, and then they bring you along with them. So
sure.
I'm trying to, you know, do any songs I can find that would help out these bands that I really like, you know, just to try to help both of us out, really.
Yeah.
So that's the main goal.
Yeah. Well, Chris will tell stories about how, you know, his early high school bands playing at the pit there and everything.
Oh,
there's some wild nights up there.
Oh, yeah. I remember my buddy almost burned the place down once. He put lighter fluid on his cymbals, lit his drumsticks on fire, and hit the cymbals, and it's a big fireball. It was like right before that big club accident. So, needless to say, there was no more pyrotechnics allowed in the pit after that, Rudy Amos.
Yeah. Well, they were like 8-foot ceilings in there too.
Yeah.
Like
it was a pretty big fireball.
Yeah,
he went all out.
Right,
we all remembered it though.
Yeah, well, I guess that's something, at least, you know, the memory.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
And he's still doing music too. I might as well plug him while we're on it.
Yeah.
I think it's Van Amos Productions. It's Rudy Van Amos is his name, and he does all kinds of producing. He makes beats. He does recordings. A little bit of everything. Probably the best drummer I've ever seen in my life.
Huh.
And I've seen a lot of good drummers.
What about that YouTube drummer guy that, you know, I think it's titled like Drummer Shows Up at the Wrong Gig or something?
Oh,
like that.
Okay, yeah, that guy's good. Well, Rudy he's almost too good.
Yeah.
Like he plays beats that don't make sense to me, but
right.
they make sense to him.
Sure.
Like that kind of stuff.
Well, that's what's fun about that YouTube video. That guy is like, you know, the front guys
it's like
are,
a metal drummer.
Yeah, and he's just like spinning the sticks the whole time. You know,
just
and like
getting it.
Yeah.
And the guys are just strumming.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Sticks.
But yeah, that's so funny, though. But yeah, there's a. It's, you know, even through the show, it's just like, man, I'm in awe of some of these guys' talents and like just like sit back and I'm like, yeah, these guys are incredibly talented guys. And it's just, I don't know. So that's why I try to do all I can to just like that, plug the friends and hope somebody else will
absolutely
appreciate it too.
People helping people. It's
yeah.
a beautiful thing. I wish more people were
yeah.
like that.
That's Garth Brooks, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I'm a big fan
yeah.
of his too.
Yeah.
Zach Brown. And I thought that all country artists wrote their own songs before
yeah.
I went down to Nashville. That
yeah.
is not the case.
No, that, so. Oh, and even more so now that like hardly any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, like anybody that's on your radio now, like Lee Bryce writes a lot of his stuff. He co-writes with a lot, but like, you know, Blake Shelton, he wrote Over You with Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is where I get in. This is because I read all that stuff.
You
I love
follow where
and
it
I,
came from. And...
But I'm a fan. I'm already, usually by the time it hit country radio, I've already heard the songwriter sing it. There's a guy I like a lot, Dallas Davidson.
I think I've heard that name.
He's been on like every hit song on the radio. The guy, a lot of his stuff's like been done by Luke Bryan. Mm-hmm. I'm not big on Luke Bryan.
Yeah.
But when you hear Dallas, when I like his version of the songs, before you put all the auto tune and the beats and all that stuff to it, like
producers.
So it's I really like what he does, and
it's more raw, it's more true. And that's another thing. When I was down in Nashville, I got to see four guys play at Bluebird Cafe, the real one.
Yeah.
And one of them was Neil Thrasher, and I had the other guys' names written down, but they were all phenomenal. And to see, these are all number one country, like heavy hitter songwriters.
Yeah.
And to see them play the songs that they wrote, to hear their versions of it, and then I actually got to talk to them afterwards. I went up and introduced myself. They're just guys like you and I, but they took the time to get really good at songwriting.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do, is take the time to get really good. And that's kind of when I realized that I might be able to do this. It's because these are just normal guys. Mm-hmm. I had them up on this pedestal, but they were super friendly. They're like, you know, what's your name so I can remember when you come down here, this and this. So, and oh, that's another thing. I'm going to try to go down the weekend of August 20th. I think that's Thursday. That's my birthday, so I'm going to go down to Nashville. Anybody listening to this that knows anybody in Nashville, I want to try to play somewhere on my birthday in Nashville. So that's my next goal.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's see what happens. I've only been I've been through a couple of times. Like we went to my buddy Brandon. I was in the Army and things, and he went to he was stationed in North Carolina, and I wanted to go down there and get, he got a bunch of tattoos there, and he wanted to go back and finish his tattoos.
Of course.
And so we drove down there, and we stopped in Nashville for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one stop. And then one time me and Stacy went there to see, it was the Capitol Records block party thing. They had Alan Jackson headlined it, Eric Church,
nice.
Eric Paisley.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was like the three, and maybe it might have been somebody else. But anyway, those three play, and I've never seen Alan Jackson, and it was free, so I was like, I'll drive down to Nashville for a free Alan Jackson show. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, and Eric Church. Like Eric was on his way up. Like he was, he was already well known, but he wasn't what he is now, selling out arenas and things. But, that was really cool. But so I have never been able to do the full proper Broadway experience, like going to Tootsie's and the Orchid Lounge and
it's amazing.
Whatever. So I need to. That's one of the vacations I need to plan. And I got a bunch of buddies down there.
Come
though.
Down on the 20th.
Oh, yeah, man, I might have to.
I'll guarantee it'll be a good time. Yeah. Nothing else.
I got buddies down there though. My buddy Zach Logan I had on the show, and he's just, if you want to hear some good songwriters, he played a few on the show, and he moved down to like Baton Rouge area now, but he was in Nashville for a while.
So I'm definitely looking for people to do co-writing with too, so I might have to talk to you more about that.
Zach Michael, he's at the show Sunday. He's living in Nashville, and he's knows a bunch of people, and so there's
might be a good person to
know. So he's some of the newer stuff he's putting out is a little more country influenced, obviously being in Nashville.
Yeah.
But his first EP that he put out, called Chapter 2, it's a little more kind of pop R&B ish kind of stuff, but it's he's a super talented guy, and I'm excited to have him at the show and call him a friend. And
absolutely.
But so you we talked about being able to like kind of flip some songs sometimes, and you got another one you want to play?
I got one more kind of original. I actually just started working on this one last night and today. It's my buddies from the Brothers Reed out of Ashland, Oregon. Really, really good. What are they? Folk. Real good folk duo. They're brothers, and they do the brother harmony just right. And they have a song called Show After Show, which I really was able to relate with because I've been playing a lot of gigs lately. And it's a very, very good song. And last night I was just kind of piddling around and started switching around a couple words in the song and turned it into more of like a little love song. And I sent it to him, and he's like, hey, man, have at it. Try to play it. I was like, all right. So I worked on it a little bit before you came over, and I'll try to play it again right now.
All right.
Sometimes the things you say can be so sweet. Right off the bat, you knew just what to say. And every time that you would leave, I wish that you would stay with me. But you can't help always running away. She just thinks it's all about surviving, saving up to buy a little house. Can't pay, just pass the buck. No wonder why we both got stuck, losing sight of what we're all about. And soul after soul, I'm only chasing a dream. Or could we just be made believe? I just need to face reality. Now the bottle's gone and I'm sure feeling empty. There's just nothing left to save. Life won't always hand over your dreams. Half a damn is all you ever gave. And soul after soul, I'm only chasing a dream. Or could this just be make-believe? And I just need to face reality. That's all I got so far.
Yeah. That sounded good, man.
Thanks, man. And the, like I said, the original version of that is really, really good, too. And that's by the Brothers Reed, out of Ashland, Oregon. They're actually going to be here on August 9th, coming through in town for a wedding. Okay. And I'm trying to get them booked at Cedar Lake Cellars Winery. So watch my Facebook there for that one, because that's going to be a really good show.
Yeah. Cool, man. So you got some stuff coming up you want to
play? Yeah, I got just a few gigs coming up I was going to let everybody know about. Tonight I'm playing at Hog's House from 9 to 12. That's at 94 and O'Fallon Road, which just isn't going to air tomorrow until tomorrow, so I'm still going to say it anyway. It's the only place where you can get New Melly chicken gizzards outside of the New Melly Festival.
And if you have a time machine, come
right. It'll be great. Next week, Wednesday, not sure of the date, Wednesday the 10th maybe, sounds right, Cedar Lake Cellars, I'll be playing out there. Thursday next week, Katie's Pizza and Pasta on Manchester, which I wasn't sure what to expect there, but it's actually a really nice place. Yeah. Like, they have all fresh ingredients. They grow their own herbs and stuff. It's nice.
I know Brad Welker.
Yeah.
He plays out there a lot.
He plays Wednesdays, and I play Thursdays on the patio, on the party patio. But Fridays, back at Cedar Lake Cellars again, and then Saturday at Cicero's downtown.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's
trying to stay busy.
Yeah, sure, man. That's all over the place. So. Yeah. Coming to a town near you.
I don't discriminate on where I play.
Yeah. Yeah, man,
But thank you again so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. It's going to help me reach out to people that wouldn't have ever heard me, so thank you.
Well, I'm glad I could help, for sure.
Absolutely.
What about this Faded in the Biz?
I was hoping we wouldn't get to that. No, I'm kidding. Me and a good friend of mine, Mike Calcara, long story short, I went over there. I was hanging out with his sister, and she's like, "Oh, my brother's in the basement doing music stuff. You want to go down and check it out?" I was like, "All right." Go down there, and him and his buddy are doing like hip hop stuff. And I was like, "All right." And I didn't know that he made his own beats. So, and he ended up like recording some acoustic tracks for me. And then I went over one day and I was like, "So, what have you been working on lately?" And he played me the beat for "So St. Chuck." And he's like, "I kind of want to make a hip hop song about St. Charles County." And I was like, "Well, get on the microphone. We'll see what happens." And that's where "So St. Chuck" got started, and that's where "Faded in the Biz" got started.
Yeah,
it's just it's like a hip hop acoustic comedy duo. I think the first one ever.
Yeah,
and we're supposed to have our first live performance ever at the New Melly Festival on the 20th.
Yeah,
so I'm very excited about that.
And
we've got a pretty big image to maintain, so we're gonna have to have props, and it's a whole big thing. Ziggy, you were doing so good. Hey, come here. Want a treat? Yeah. Good boy. Come here. We're friends.
Nope, never mind. Change my mind.
Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, thanks again, man, for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so come on, see Joe.
Shiggy. Shh. Hey. He thinks someone's coming in, but they're not.
So come out.
Yay. Shh. Hey.
We're podcasting
come here.
Come Ziggy.
Here.
Hey, boy.
Yep. New Mellie Festival, June 20th from 4 to 7 p.m. It's going down. Ziggy's very excited about it.
That's going to be a good time, man.
For sure. Looking forward to it.
And then keep an eye out for the Follow Me to New Mellie.
Yeah. It's going to be playing it out there and eventually going to get a whole band demo version available and have that on iTunes as well.
Yeah. Very cool. Big stuff happening, man.
For sure. Hopefully. One step at a time.
Excited to be on the, helping out before you take off here.
Calm before the storm.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Well, I certainly do appreciate it.
All right, well, I guess that's episode 75.
Goodbye, world.
Joe Bazzelli.
Until next time.
Thanks again, man.
Thank you.